verse 4. Concentrating on the valley of the shadow of death, walking through that valley. So that's the setting, I believe, of the rest of the psalm, is in this valley of the shadow of death. I want to see that it is a living the life of Psalm 23 is living a life of experiencing His presence. In verse 4 and 5, we see His presence and we see the results of His presence. So, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for or because Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Again, David is speaking of personal adverse circumstances. That's part of the valley of the shadow of death, difficulties of life. And he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And as you read on, and you read verses 4 and verse 5, you see that circumstances do not determine one's personal experience of the Lord. You do not need a perfect set of circumstances to enjoy the Lord. Circumstances don't determine our relationship with the Lord. And if you think they do, you basically have no relationship with the Lord. The trials of life do not have to be a distraction to the spiritual life of a child of God. If and when, and they do, the trials of life become a distraction to our spirituality, it is because we have allowed that to happen. We don't have to allow that to happen. There should be no matter what the circumstances, there should be a continuation of a personal relationship, a personal experience of the Lord. So, the circumstances of life, whether we consider them positive or adverse, should not be what defines and shapes the character of the life of a child of God. And in this fourth verse, he not only states the inevitability of the valley, but also the blessed personal experience of the valley. And we see here he mentions the presence of God in that valley. We want to focus in on the presence of God. The Bible has a lot to say about the presence of the Lord, and most do not understand the presence of the Lord. First of all, there is the omnipresence of God. The word omnipresent, of course, defines itself. You don't need a dictionary, it just defines itself. But basically, it means that God, in totality, the totality of all His being, without multiplying Himself, without dividing Himself, penetrates and fills the universe in all of its parts, equally present in the past, the present, and the future. The omnipresence of God. It means that He is always present everywhere, at the same time, in heaven and in earth. And again, that's true past, present and future. 10 years from now, God's already there. He's already there now. Now, we can't really grasp that, but that's what we mean by omnipresent. It covers all times. It doesn't just cover right now. It covers all time. It covers eternity. So he's always present. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. In other words, God's bigger. And much less this house that I have builded. Isaiah 66 and verse 1, it says that heaven is God's throne, earth is God's footstool. Everything in between, God is there. So it shows how big God is. The Word of God plainly declares the omnipresence of the Lord. Notice in Psalm 139, verses 7 through verse 10. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? And again, if God is present everywhere, at all times at the same time, he has to be spirit. It declares the nature of his being. Has to be spirit. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So he goes to the greatest heights, the greatest depths. Behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. So now he's going withwise. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And then in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, these are just basic verses declaring that God is present everywhere. Jeremiah 23, verse 24 and 25. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Now, the very nature of that question implies that man has a desire to hide himself from God. Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Acts 17, we see the omnipresence of the Lord. Acts 17, verse 24. Verse 23, Paul is declaring God unto them. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. That is, he can't be confined to that. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood, that's talking about Adam, us in Adam, all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. He's determined where they live, where they go. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So if we're not in him, this is talking about creation, we cannot live. As certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. So the omnipresence of God is the spiritual nature of God. He is spirit. It speaks of his infinity. It speaks of his, that we cannot comprehend God. We cannot comprehend everywhere at the same time. We believe it, but you and I cannot fully comprehend that, especially if you add past, present, and future. So God is beyond human comprehension. If you think that you can fully understand God, then you have created a very small God. He has to be a God no bigger than what you can understand. Now, that's pitiful. In Job 36, verse 26, behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out. What that is saying is God is beyond our comprehension. The omnipresence of God, again, speaks of the nature of God. It speaks of the largeness of God. It speaks of his sovereignty. Wherever God is, he governs. God isn't somewhere and doesn't govern. So it speaks of his sovereignty. It speaks of the fact that he is not bound by space. He is not bound by time. Though God is omnipresent, the Word of God makes it very clear that he is not everywhere present in the same sense or with the same purpose. There is his glorious presence in heaven, where he in a most eminent manner displays the glory of his majesty to angels and to the spirits of the redeemed. There is the providential or essential presence with all his creatures. And that's what we read of in Acts 17. It's what we read of in Psalm 139 as well. And in his providential presence, he gives life. He supports life. Acts 17, verse 28. And there is his gracious presence, which regenerates, sanctifies, comforts, and refreshes. So yes, God is omnipresent, but he's not present in all places in the same way. And that's made very clear in Scripture. And it is in this sense, the gracious presence of God, that David speaks in Psalm 23 when he says, for thou art with me. There is a sense everybody can say that God is with me because God's everywhere. David's not here speaking just of his providential presence, speaking of the gracious presence of God. So we want to look at you have the omnipresence of God, you have the gracious presence of God. So there is the essential presence of God in the world. It's absolutely essential. Acts 17, you cannot live without it. We could refer to it as the universal, unlimited presence of God. But there is also a very special, gracious presence of God, limited to certain places and certain individuals. This special gracious presence of God is presented and implied from the negative aspect. Those who just believe in omnipresence of God, blanket statement, and make no difference have some problems with some verses of Scripture. Notice in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. How can you do that? If God is omnipresence, present, how can you go somewhere where He isn't? You can't. So obviously, He's speaking of something more than omnipresence here. He's speaking of the gracious presence of the Lord. Notice Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. And verse 15. Moses says, "And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence." Well, if you're just speaking generally of the presence of God, how can His presence not go with you? He's obviously speaking of something greater than the general, universal presence of the Lord. He says, if you do not go with us, carry us up not hence. In other words, we can't have victory without this special presence of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22. And verse 3. Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth into the holy things which the children of Israel hallow, set apart unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. Well, how can that be if God's omnipresent? Now, someone in ignorance will say, well, that's talking about hell. Well, is God present in hell? Think about that. If you say, no, He isn't, then He's not omnipresent. Then He's not everywhere. God is present everywhere. He's present in hell. And it's a special presence in hell. It's not His gracious presence, it's His wrathful presence. So we see here that one could be cut off from His presence. Which again, we're not talking about the general presence of God. It's talking about a special gracious presence. Psalm 10, verse 1. Psalm 10, verse 1. The psalmist says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? So here, why standest thou afar off? It's not talking about the general presence of God. It's talking about something else. It's talking about a different degree. It's talking about the gracious presence of the Lord. Why hidest thyself? Psalm 51, verse 11. Psalm 51, verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Well, where in the world could you be cast that he isn't? If he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. I had a man tell me once, well, he's omnipresent except. Well, the word except does away with the word omni. I mean, that's ignorance. God is present everywhere in a general sense. But there is obviously, from these scriptures, there's a special presence of God. And that's the gracious presence. And that's the presence that David is speaking of in Psalm 23. It is also implied in Isaiah 55, if we turn there, this special gracious presence of God. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Well, if he's always present, he's always near. So this obviously is talking about a different type of his presence. So the special gracious presence of God is presented and implied from the negative, as we've seen in these verses. But it's also presented in the positive aspect. God is said to dwell in certain places. That does not mean that he dwells there to the exclusion of another place, because if there's an exclusion of another place, it's not omnipresent. But it's talking about a special kind of presence. In Psalm 9, verse 11. Psalm 9, verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. He dwells in Zion in a special way. In a special way. Psalm 26, verse 8. O Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy place, thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. There's a place. There's a special place. God dwells everywhere. But there is a special way in which he dwells and his honor is manifested. In Psalm 76, verse 2. Psalm 76 and verse 2. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. Doesn't mean those are the only places he dwells, because then he wouldn't be omnipresent. But obviously he dwells there in a special way. Psalm 135, verse 21. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. So he dwells everywhere. He is everywhere. But he dwells in certain places in a different way than he does anywhere else. He also is with people in a special way. Wherever people are, God is there. Again, Psalm 139, there isn't anywhere you can go that God is not. You cannot hide yourself from God. But all through the Old Testament, we read the words, God was with, and a name. Now, in a general sense, that could be said of all of us, because God's everywhere. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about he's present in a very special way. For example, God was with Abraham. Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 21, verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. That's a special presence of God. That's not just talking about the general omnipresence of the Lord. Notice in Genesis chapter 26, and we'll close here in Genesis 26, verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, And here's the key, and we'll bless thee. It's a special blessing presence of God. Also notice in verse 24, the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply the seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Verse 28, and they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. They could see that the Lord was with Abraham. It's a special gracious presence of the Lord. So when we talk about the omnipresence of God, we must not just limit it to God's creation presence, His universal general presence. There is a special presence of God that only God's people know about. And that's what David is talking about in Psalm 23 when he says, Thou art with me. Thou art with me. He's talking in a way that a lost person cannot speak. He's talking about the very special presence of the Lord. And you and I can live enjoying that presence every single day of our life. What a wonderful life God has given us. May God go with us. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are omnipresent. We thank you, Lord, that no matter where we go, you are there. Lord, most of all, we thank you for your gracious presence in our lives and that, Lord, you're there to bless us, and help us. And we thank you so much. And, Lord, we thank you that we can live in the enjoyment and the experience of that presence. We again thank you, Lord, for what is written here in Psalm 23 and how it can be our life. And we just thank you for that. We just pray that you would be with us today in a special way. Lord, that you would come down and save lost sinners. Lord, that you would come down and draw your people closer to thee. Cause us, Lord, to be more aware of thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.